But in John chapter 9, I want you to look in verse 25 with me right here. The Bible said, He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know that whereas I was blind, now I see. Heavenly Father, help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated. I want to go back and begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible said, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that hath sent me, while it is day, that night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. A man that had never seen light before in his whole life, here stands the light of the world, fixing to turn the lights on for him. Amen. And the Bible said in verse 7, And said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. And others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. And therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Make clay and anoint, thank God. Amen. And anointed mine eyes and said unto me, I go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day. And when Jesus made the clay, and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he had not kept the Sabbath day. And others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, talking about Jesus, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him, had to be 30 years of age at this point to be called of age. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Boy, they defamed the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? And so we come back to verse 25, and he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I want to preach, having a thought this morning, out of verse 25, and read all that, because we're going to go back and look at some of that, on one thing I know. Now, there's not a lot of things I know in this world, but there's one thing I know, is that there was a day that I was lost, and I got saved. Amen. Now, I know that. I know that day happened because I was there. I listened to something, and that changed in my life. I'm going to deal with that just here in a little bit. Now, we find that as this man has been healed, the Lord Jesus Christ has touched him and anointed him, and that with clay and that spittle of himself. And we find that he's healed him. Sitting down there, pulls along, he washed. And when he come back, he was seeing. And all these people that's been around, they sent him down to the Pharisees. And they tell the Pharisees what's going on. And they say something is different about this land. Now the Bible tells us right here, make sure to tell us, that it's on the Sabbath day. Now by way of introduction, the Pharisees always got angry with the Lord when he healed on the Sabbath day. They hated, they had messed the Sabbath day up. God made the Sabbath. Hey, as a matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Mark, I believe it is, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What's that mean? He told them that they had failed in that to keep mercy, and they had failed in that to take care of what needed to be took care of in the very fact is that they were so concerned about keeping the Sabbath that they had missed all the other things that they needed to do. Let me give you an example in today's time. My sister was getting ready to go to church here a while back, and she'd stopped at the grocery store early on the way to church. It's about 8:30 in the morning. And I know that the Sabbath day is not Sunday, and Sunday not the Sabbath day, but this will give you a good idea to think about some things. And as she was putting her buggy back up, there was a lady that walked up to her and said, I hope you're having a good day today. And they struck up a conversation, and come to find out that this woman was homeless, and she hadn't had any breakfast, and she was hungry. Now let me ask you the question, what should have my sister done right there? Should she have took that woman and fed her, or should she have been concerned more about getting to Sunday school for that one Sunday morning, not to mess up church and not to mess up the Lord's day? Which one was she supposed to do? Well, she was supposed to take that woman to get her something to eat, amen. Hey, missing Sunday school one time to help somebody in that situation, I don't think is going to hurt you, amen. I sure ain't going to preach against you. If you're out there trying to feed somebody and show them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart, especially when it shows up like that. I mean, listen, she just showed up out of the blue. Now, don't be going looking for something to do to miss Sunday school. Amen. A lot of people, they're looking for something to do to miss Sunday school. But I'm just saying a lot of times we get everything out of kilter and everything out of order. And we fail to have love and mercy. And we just pin way too much on what we ought to do when we miss it all together. If you understand what I'm talking about. Amen. I think y'all get that this morning. I hope so. Amen. He told him over there, he told him at one point, let me see if we can find it. Let's go back. Is it Matthew 23? I believe it's Matthew 23. I didn't mean to be here today, but it'll work. Amen. I'll get started preaching here in a minute. Matthew 23. Let's look. The Lord has lowered the boom on the Pharisees at this point. You ever notice who the Lord lowers the boom on and loads the wagons for? It's never the sinner.
Nope.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
He never one time loads the sinner's wagon.
Amen.
Except for the fact that he tells them that he come to save them. Amen. Amen. I'm in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. Never one time do I find with the Lord Jesus Christ berated the sinner. All he done was come and loved on them, told them that they needed to get saved, and no doubt brought conviction in their life. We understand that. But right here, he's lowered the boom on the Pharisees. People, and what he's doing is people that should have known better, that's who he's dealing with right here. And when we get to Matthew chapter 23, look in verse 23. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." He said, these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. He told them, you should have paid your tithe. In the matter of paying your tithe, you've missed what was weightier. You've missed what was more important, which was mercy, judgment, and faith.
Amen.
He said, you've missed that. Listen, I'm afraid we miss some things in church sometimes. Hey, we get the religious part right.
Amen.
We get to come to church right. We get to put our tithe in the plate right. But boy, we miss what the Lord wants us to do. And that's win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. To show kindness and mercy. Been studying on that on Wednesday night. Had me out of the book of Colossians over there. Out of the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where he said, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Man, we have missed the boat sometimes.
Amen.
in serving the Lord. And boy, we get pharisaical and legalistic. And boy, I tell you, ain't nothing wrong with being separated. You ought to be separated and living right and love not the world and all those things. I understand that. That's not what I'm preaching on this morning. But we miss some things. Just as the Pharisees was missing that this very man who had been blind all his life, the Lord Jesus come by and touched him and healed him. And all they were concerned about was Jesus healing on the Sabbath. They missed it, didn't they? Missed the whole boat. Don't miss the whole boat this morning. But I want to look at this gentleman that got healed. Now, people take corrupt things out of the Bible a lot of times, just like the Pharisees did, like the Pharisees do. But I want to look this morning at the blind man. First of all, number one, this blind man, he was blind, and that from birth. If there's ever a great type of a lost person in the Bible, we find it with a blind man. We find right here that, first of all, he's got an incurable disease. Amen. Hey, listen, you just don't find even today where many people that are blind from birth are being healed and being cured of why they can't see. Hey, can I tell you that right here, it was going to be a miracle if this man ever saw it. I mean, God was going to have to reach down from heaven and touch him and heal him of his blindness for him to see. And so here we come one day. If you look right here, the Bible plainly says that he's blind from birth. His disciples said that he was born blind in verse 2. And we find it, even his parents said in verse 20 that he was born blind. Listen, it's no different and that for the sinner. However, one of us was born into sin. And if you've never been saved, you're still in sin, needing a Savior. Amen. Listen, he's just like every lost man, lost every woman, lost every man, boy, girl. Listen, it's ever been born. You're born lost. Amen. I mean, you're born in your sin. Man has a sin nature. The Bible talks about it in Psalm chapter 51. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So from the very beginning and that of conception, that little baby is born into sin, even as pretty and lovely, and I mean as perfect as we think they are. Listen, they're just sinners and got a sin nature. Listen, the Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't preach like that, preacher. You're giving my child a complex. I hope so. Amen. I hope your child gets a complex about their sin. They need to. You need to get a complex about sin. 1 John 1 and 8 says that if we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. And a lot of folk have deceived themselves. And the truth is not in us. He was blind. Number one, he was a blind man, but he was blind from birth. And he had an eye problem that he could not see. But man today that is born blind and born as a sinner, listen, don't necessarily have an eye problem, but he's got a heart problem. Now here for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've noticed what I've been preaching on Sunday morning, trying to get somebody saved. Now, I've kind of noticed that here lately, that we've just been running on the same thing here. Listen, I think somebody needs to get saved. Amen. I think that would fix a lot of your problems if you just get saved. Amen. It really will. If you'll just come and trust the Lord. But here he is. Listen, he's not good enough to fix his sin. Listen, I wasn't good enough to fix myself. I had a heart problem. You see, my heart was wrong. And that with God, the Bible talks about how it's not that the things that come out of the mouth of man, they come from his heart. His heart is defiled, you see. And man has a heart problem. And God wants to work on your heart and save your heart. And listen, you're born with a heart problem. And there's nothing that you can do about it yourself. The Bible tells us right here that he was blind from birth. You know that this man didn't know that he was indifferent as a little boy until somebody told him he was different. What do you mean? Well, I mean, all he would know is that he was born blind, and until somebody told him that he was blind, he would just have to make the assumption that the whole world is this way. You know why it's so important to tell your children that Jesus loves them and wants to save them? Because they need to know that they're sinners. I'm just honest. Listen, them young ones around here need to know that they're sinners, and that they need, you need to know that you're a sinner if you're lost, and you need to get saved. But hear this, I think about this. He's been born blind from birth, and here he is, and as he's growing up, maybe as he's a little feller, he just thinks that the whole world is this way. And can I tell you that the whole world is that way? The whole world's born into sin. There's no big I's and little U's. We all had to come to the foot of Calvary, didn't we, to get saved. We all had to come to Jesus the same way with a sinner. Listen, but you know there come a day that this man realized that there was something different about the rest of the world that was around him, or that there was something different about him compared to everybody else. No doubt that he could hear people moving around high speed, walking a little faster than he walked. And no doubt his mother told him, or his father told him, look, you can't see, we can see. And I don't know how you'd even explain that to somebody that was blind. How do you explain seeing to somebody that's blind? Been blind from birth. Now think about that for you. How do you explain that? I mean, it's one thing when, listen, my dad, and my great uncle James, and when he was about 18 or 19 years old, he began to lose his sight. And by the time that he was probably 20, he had lost his sight. So you could talk to him, and you know what? They said that he could spear biker better than anybody could, being blind. He'd take that thumb and lay up there on top of that spear, and he could just work like anybody else could. He didn't go get on welfare. Amen. Hello. Anybody deserved to be, he did.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He couldn't see, man. Come on now.
Come on.
Listen, ain't I telling the truth today about that?
Amen.
Fell in the ditch, didn't we, already? Amen. Amen. Talking about welfare.
Amen.
Let me get back to where we are. Where are we at? Now, listen, here he is. He's blind. And my Uncle James, he knew what it meant to see. He knew what it meant to see. This old boy didn't know what it meant to see. You could explain it to him all day long, but he didn't know what it meant to see. It's like trying to tell a sinner what it means to be saved without them being saved.
That's right.
You can explain it all day long till you're blue in the face, and until God comes by and touches them, they'll never know the difference. They'll never know. Hey, you can tell them about the peace of God. You can tell them about the joy of God. You can tell them about their sins being forgiven. But until they experience, they don't know. Amen. We was up in Knoxville. When did we go? Thursday went to Knoxville. Some tracks in my pocket, and we was up in the department store, and a gentleman waited on us. He was a black man, very, very kind, very courteous, younger than us. And I guess he's younger than us, looked younger than us, or maybe even about our age. I don't know anymore. I don't know how to figure people. I don't even know how old I look anymore. I feel about 25. Or at least in my mind, I feel about 25. You still feel pretty good, Nick? Amen. You're close to that age. Listen. In my mind, I'm still there. But my body sometimes tells me, anyway, I was getting sidetracked, man. And so I run into this gentleman as I bought everything I wanted to buy and was fixing to leave. I started talking to him about the Lord. And very seldom do I start a conversation with, are you a Christian? I just never start one that way because everybody's a Christian. But I started that conversation that way. I said, are you a Christian? And he looked at me. He said, no, I'm not. Well, I thought, man, we've got an honest fella right here, as honest as I've ever seen. He said, I was raised Muslim. Now, that kind of threw me for a loop for just a minute. Because I'm going to be honest with you, in the little city of Athens down here, I don't run into many Muslims. You go to Sweetwater, or you go to Benton, or you go to Inglewood, and you begin talking to folk about the Lord, you don't run into a lot of Muslims. And I talked to him for just a little bit there, and he finally came to the point. He said, look, and we were very kind with each other, but he said, they've told me not to be talking about this on the job. I said, okay. I don't want to get you in any trouble at all. But I began, as I walked away, I began to think about how do you deal with somebody like that? And I begin to think about the question to ask would be, do you have peace in your heart? Is there peace? Is there something down on the inside that's different than it used to be? Because I asked him how he was going to heaven. He said, well, I'm kind and I'm good and I don't steal and I don't lie. That's work salvation right there. There's a lot of folk think they're going to get into heaven that way, but it won't happen. Amen? You got to trust the Lord Jesus to be your personal Savior. That's folk if they got peace on the inside. But this old boy, you could explain it to him, but he'd never know what it meant. He was blind and could not see. But number two, I want you to look at the meeting that he had. The Bible said right here, when he had spoken, talking about the Lord Jesus, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, I've often wondered if this man had eyes. It's one thing to be blind, it's another not to have eyes. I've just always wondered that the Lord literally bent down on the ground, got him some dirt, spit in it, mixed it up, and put it on his face. What are we made out of? Well, we're made out of the dust of the earth, ain't we? Hey, listen, God went out to her one day after he had created everything but man, and he shaped out a man in the ground with his fingers and pushed the dirt together and breathed into him the breath of life. And the Bible said that man became a living soul. We ain't nothing but dirt.
Amen.
When we die, we go back to the dirt that we came out of. And so here we find a man that Jesus and him meet. And he takes them eyes, or he takes that spittle of that clay and puts it on his eyes and tells him to go down and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. And he sinned here, and he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. This man would have never been made different had he never met Jesus. There was no hope for him. Just kind of like that woman that had the issue of blood over there. The Bible said that she'd been sick for 12 years. The Bible said she'd spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I began to wonder if this man had ever heard of Jesus. We don't find where he called for Jesus to come to him. I'm sure that I believe that he'd heard of him. How do you know that? Well, by the time you get over to verse 20 through 22, it talks about his parents, and they wasn't going to say nothing about the Lord Jesus for fear of being cast out of the synagogue. His parents knew something about the Lord because they just wasn't going to say anything. So go over and ask him again what happened. You say, why do you wonder if he'd heard about Jesus ahead of time? Well, here he is sitting there knowing something's wrong with him and maybe heard all these stories about this man named Jesus, and he's healing all these people. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folk that have heard about Jesus that just never met him.
Amen.
There's a lot of folks sitting on church benches that's heard about Jesus, they've just never met him. You've heard about him Sunday in and Sunday out, maybe Wednesday in and Wednesday out, but you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. This man right here, the Lord, he bent down and anointed him. I put that clay upon his eyes and sent him down to the pool of Siloam. And listen, when he came back, he was different than what he used to be. Why? Jesus had touched him, hadn't he? Jesus had touched him. You got to know that the Lord's out there, but you also got to have the Lord touch you for there to be a difference in your life. Before anybody can get saved, the Lord's got to come to you. Mm-hmm. And you've got to come to the Lord. It's kind of like blind Bartimaeus over there. Was it in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it was, or Mark chapter 10, excuse me. Blind Bartimaeus. Boy, they said Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, and he's crying out, "Thou son of David." Reckon how he knew how to do that. Mm-hmm. He had heard about Jesus, hadn't he?
Right.
He knew who he was. Listen, here he is, and he cries out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And just like a bunch of church people, they said, "Be quiet, be quiet." And he cried out the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they told him, "Be quiet, be quiet." And finally he stopped and called for blind Bartimaeus. And you know what? They said, "He calls for you." Hey, it's amazing how people change, ain't it? These same people that were saying, sit down and shut up, was now saying, the Lord's calling for you. Don't be that person. And don't be like these Pharisees.
Amen.
But blind Bartimaeus, he had to get up and go to the Lord. And the Lord asked him, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want to receive my sight. And God said, thy faith. Lord Jesus said, thy faith made thee whole. Zacchaeus was the same way. He had heard about Jesus, but he never met him. And down there in my mom and dad's front yard, down in the very bottom of the hill, they got a big old valley for a front yard, I guess you'd say. It goes down and comes back up and down on the bottom right-hand side from the house. Growing up, it's still there today. There's a great big old giant sycamore tree. And I always think about that tree when I read the story of Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus climbed up in that sycamore tree, for he'd heard about Jesus, but he had never met him. But when he met him, old Zacchaeus had a change. When blind Bartimaeus, the Bible said, who was the son of Timaeus, that's what his name meant. Bartimaeus meant the son of Timaeus. Hey, his name didn't mean nothing, man. Your name don't mean nothing either. And the sight of the Lord. Mine don't either. So the Lord, he touches him. And then he gives him instructions. Just like that night that I got saved, the Lord spoke to my heart. I remember him convicting me of my sin, showing me that I needed to get saved, that I was lost. And then I had to do something. What'd you have to do? Quit all your bad stuff? Quit your sin? Why, no. All I had to do was move and ask him to save me. All this blind man had to do was go down to the pool of Siloam and wash off that dirt. And the Bible said in verse 7 that he came back seeing. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to be saved by Jesus. Not by good works, not by good living, not by turning over a new leaf. You must come to Jesus. Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He had to go wash. And today it is the Lord Jesus Christ that washes us, Revelations 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But I want you to look right here. Jesus, he had to meet Jesus. Ain't you glad there was a day when you met him? I'm glad there was a day. Have you met him? I've met him. I know who he is. And let me say this. Can I say this right here? Let me go over here. Let me go over here to verse 25. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He didn't know nothing about Jesus. He didn't know a whole lot about the Lord. You know, you don't have to know a whole lot about the Lord to get saved. Other than the fact that you realize you're lost and you need to get saved, and he'll save you. It's that simple. Hey, listen, not only was he blind, and not only did he have to be touched in that by the Master, by the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord touched him and he trusted him and done what he said. And number 3, look in verse 7. He went his way therefore and washed. Verse 7, look, the very last thing your Bible says in verse 7, and came seeing. This old boy's different than he used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This old boy that sat by the wayside begging, this old boy that was blind and could not see and help himself, met Jesus, and Jesus changed him. You take a young person that gets saved, sometimes that change is not readily seen. Sometimes it's not as easy to see, and sometimes they wonder about their salvation. I can understand that. You get saved early in life, it's not like a drunkard getting saved. It's not. I mean, there's just no comparison there. But let me say this, that every sinner that gets saved, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up residence
Amen.
Inside your life
right.
by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so let me say this, you ought to know that the Holy Spirit resides on the inside.
Right.
You ought to know that. He will make Himself known and guide you
Amen.
Into all truth.
Right.
You know how I know I got saved when I was 14 years old? There was a difference. Even at 14 years old, I can look back at it. I got convicted of my sin. I done what the Bible said. I asked Him to save me. He done it. Amen. Thank God for that. And there was a definite change took place. I can see it. I may not have seen it then, but I can look back now and see the change that took place in my heart. But not only that, when I read this book, I listen. The Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me, listen, enlightens my eyes and my heart out of this book. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're foolishness unto him.
Right.
Anyway, let me move on. He's different. When them young'uns get saved, you just have to correct. And by the way, you know another sure way to know that you're saved? When you do wrong, the Holy Spirit starts to correct you. Amen.
Amen.
I know the devil will make you doubt your salvation. He'll try. Even John the Baptist over there got to doubting who the Lord was. John 1:29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." See him coming over there to Jordan to be baptized. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." About a year and a half later, John sending disciples down there to Jesus after he's been in prison. And he said, "Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another?"
Right.
Don't tell me you can't doubt some things. Can I tell you that it was very obvious to the blind man that there was a change made? You reckon it was obvious to him? Hey, can you imagine when he went down there to the pool of Siloam and he had to kneel to, hey, you're going to have to kneel to meet Jesus.
Amen.
You may not be able to bow your knees, but you're going to have to bow your heart Amen. And that to meet the Lord Jesus. And he gets down to the pool of Siloam and he's got dirt on him. Why ain't that just like the Lord washes the dirt off of us? And he gets down there to scent, the pool of Siloam, which means scent. And he gets down there and starts sticking his face down in the water and dips and rubs and rubs all that spill on that clay off. And he opens his eyes up and the first thing that he sees is Lot. Can you imagine? Think about that for just a minute. A man that's been born blind, he's older than 30 years old because the Bible said that he's of age. He's been blind for over 30 years and all of a sudden he comes back and he can see. Man, can you imagine when the Lord just turns a light switch on? Man, you talking about, we sing that old song sometimes in the Redback book, "I'm in a new world." Man, that's the truth, man.
Amen.
You get saved. You're living in a brand new world. You're out of that old dark world that you's living in and living in a world of light. Listen, that God's our feet and God's our way. I thank God for that. And all the Bible says about him is that he came seeing. I believe it'll be a most definite change in your life. Not only that you can see and that you can tell a difference of, because that conviction goes away and becomes comfort. But then not only did he see the difference or know the difference, but if you look in verse 8, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he, and others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he." You know, when you get saved, all them people you've been around, they'll tell a difference too.
Amen.
They tell some difference about you. Listen, folk tell me they get saved and they ain't no difference. Wonder about them. I wonder if they ever got what was good. Amen.
Amen.
Folk will be able to tell a difference in you when you get saved. You can take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 5 sometime and look at Legion over there. Legion, who'd been running around naked hollering of the nighttime, been filled up with the devil. And I mean, he just screamed and cut himself and lived in the tombs. But boy, when he met Jesus over there, Bible said that he got him seated, clothed, and in his right mind.
Amen.
And that's when folk got scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you are the way you are, folk don't mind you. But boy, when you get Jesus in there, it makes all the difference in the world. Folk don't want to be around you. I want you to look at the testimony that he gave. Well, he's over there with the Pharisees. And then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Boy, he began to tell his testimony about what happened to him. See, they tell that there was something different about him. And they said, how did this thing happen? He said, well, just let me tell you how it happened. I met this man by the name of Jesus, and he made some clay, and he put it on my eyes and told me to go wash, and I went and washed, and now I see. Hey, listen, you know the testimony what I have? Hey, God come by, convicted our heart one night, one day somewhere along the way, I made myself to an altar and asked him to save me and forgive me, and I'm different than I've ever been. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It may not be that way exactly when you tell it, but you'll have something to tell.
Amen.
I preach that message sometimes. What's your story? What's your testimony? What can you tell about salvation? What can you tell your young'uns when they want to get saved? Hey, listen, the Apostle Paul, all he ever told over and over and over again is what happened to him on the road to Damascus. When he got before Felix, when he got before Agrippa, when he got before the Jews over there, he just told them, let me tell you what happened on the road to Damascus, how Jesus shined a light and I got saved. Amen. What do you tell folk about salvation? What's your testimony? Even after they pressed on him to say something bad about Jesus, you know what he said? Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. He didn't know a whole lot, but he knowed one thing. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now found. How about you this morning? Huh? Was you blind, but now you see? Or are you still blind, not being able to see? Lay some telltale signs about your salvation. Did you ask Him to save you? Was there a difference? You may not have ever asked Jesus to save you. Today's your day. Come and trust Him. If you've asked Him to save you, I'm not here to talk you out of your salvation. That night that I got saved, I remember being lost. That's what I remember. Well, you got to get lost before you can get saved.
Right.
I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he was talking about a song, I'm Glad I Got Lost. He said, I don't know if that's scripture or not. I said, what do you mean you don't know if it's scripture? Before you can get saved, you've got to get lost, man. I mean, you've got to come to the realization that you're going to die lost in your sin and die and go to a devil's hell needing to trust the Lord. This old boy was going to die a blind man if Jesus didn't touch him. You're going to die a sinner if Jesus don't touch you and you come to Him. This old boy was different. Don't you want it to be different than what it is now? All the worry and the torment on the inside. Going to bed with it and waking up with it. Wondering about some things. I tell you, He can save you today. If you'll let Him. Let's bow our heads across the house, church. As we get a verse of invitation, men. As they pressed on Him further and further down through the chapter, they pressed on Him and pressed on Him. And they asked Him over and over and over again, how did this happen? No doubt trying to trip Him up. And He told them, I've already told you once and told you again. But He said, you've not heard. Don't be like them. For you've been told and been told, but you ain't hearing today. Why don't you move and believe? Why don't you move and ask God to save you? So, preacher, I'm just not sure about something. Well, why don't you come and pray and get some things figured out and ask God to help you? I'm not here to talk you out of your salvation. Now, I want you to know that you're saved. This old boy was blind, but now he could see. often wondered as I studied this, often wondered as he grew and got older and older and older, was there ever a day that he forgot that he was blind? Was there ever a day that he didn't remember what Jesus done for him? I'm afraid we get that way sometimes, church, that we forget where Jesus found us at. Maybe just a young man and a young lady. Maybe just a boy or a girl in a vacation Bible school. Maybe at a Saturday night singing. Maybe on a Sunday morning service where Jesus found you. Might have been at home, but where did he find you at? Well, start playing there, Brother Lewis, if you're ready. Where did he find you at? He found this old blind man sitting by the wayside begging. You know where he's found you at? Sitting right here in Unity Baptist Church this morning. And just as in John chapter 4, as he was coming through there, and the Bible said that he must needs go through Samaria. He had to meet that woman at the well. It's no mistake what I preached, and it's no mistake that you're here. If you're still in your blindness, Jesus sure wants to open your eyes this morning. And you can be like that blind man where he said, "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Can you say that? I was blind, but now I see. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for folk being very attentive and listening this morning. We thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit and helping us while we preached. Lord, right now is a very important time. I pray that you've spoke to hearts and dealt with hearts about their salvation, about being saved, about having their eyes open. Might be a young man or a young lady today that, Lord, you have just rolled back and showed them that they were blind and need to get saved. Might be a man or a woman. Lord, as we get ready to sing, I pray folk will be very attentive to the Holy Spirit this morning. If they need to move, I pray they'd come. Let them find peace and joy on the inside. Again, we love you. Help during this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name, amen.